Now on Mitchell's Front Page, Caitlin with Arts and Entertainment.
And we always look forward to this segment to round out Tuesdays on Mitchell's Front Page. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. It's good to see you once again.
Good to see you.
And as I was saying before, this segment is great for drawing great pieces of literature to the attention of our listeners who may not have been aware of it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that, but yeah.
And I did say that I was going to see Making a Murderer.
Which I'm very excited. So did you watch any?
Well, I saw the first two because, you know, I'm a man of my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I always do it, as you well know.
Yes, I believe this is the first time you've ever actually followed through with something.
No, that's not true. I watched that one about the news guy filming or deliberately setting up those crime scenes.
Oh,
that movie,
yeah,
yes.
I forgot about that one.
I can't remember
what it's
called.
Oh, yeah, and you enjoyed that.
I did like that. It was a fantastic film.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal. I can't remember what it was called either.
I'll look that up again because it was a very good film. But this one is interesting. I've seen the two episodes. It's quite involved viewing because it is 2 1-hour episodes and there's 10 1-hour episodes total. So you've got to devote 10 hours of your life to it if you want to see what actually happens.
But it's very easy to do, don't you think?
I think it is. So I'm going to be catching up on the rest of it probably this week and possibly
into next
week.
I'm so excited about this. So I can see that you really enjoyed it.
I did. I think it was very...
thought-provoking.
It is thought-provoking. I think it is one that I want to see the full story right to the very end before I can make any conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting with the documentary. You can see it's set up in a certain way. You know what I mean? They are setting up to persuasively tell you one side of the story, and that's fine. But I'll go and do my own research and look at the other side, because it has happened before where you look at those things and it's very compelling. And
right.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, so you do have to look at both sides of the story and you've got to be always skeptical. But it's just a great piece of storytelling, and the person who put it together has obviously, you know, done a fantastic job at just putting it together in a compelling way.
Yeah, these two women basically just moved from, like, between New York and Wisconsin, like, constantly following this story for 10 years. So, riveting stuff.
And for those that don't remember your segment last week or for some reason weren't listening, I'm not sure why that would be, no excuses. It is essentially about a person that was found guilty of rape, but that charge was overturned over 18 years later with new DNA evidence coming to light. And I've just got up, this is the end of the second episode, and he's at the process of taking the state to task for the wrongful imprisonment. The compensation there was something very low, like $5,000 per year that you are wrongfully imprisoned for. And I think they found that there was no wrongdoing at the time. So he's in the process of undergoing civil action to try and get some sort of compensation. And then there was a very curious murder scene, and the evidence is pointed back to the person that was previously acquitted, and the documentary is alluding to that the state might have been involved in setting someone up, but I'm not sure. I've got to watch the rest. So that's where it's at.
Yes, yes. Very good. Very good recap.
So this is going to be a bit of an ongoing thing, I think, on this
station. Well, that's
what
I was like. I was like, oh my God, end of episode 2, and I can't believe we have 8 episodes left. And I assure you, when you get to episode 8, you'll be like, how is there 2 more episodes left?
Right.
But, yes, it's a very thrilling and scary story.
And it's all on Netflix. If people have that, they can go and watch it there.
Highly recommend. Everyone's talking about it.
They are at the moment. I did notice that. So, yeah, absolutely. Now, if we look at the text that you have brought in today, what have you brought in with you?
So, it's quite a big one. Now, I don't know if you remember, it was probably about a year ago or something, I spoke about a book called The Diviners by Libba Bray. And this is the second one. It's finally come out. And I'm very excited. So, the first one was about... this is like obviously the sequel to that.
Yes. And
same
just give
characters.
Us a snapshot about what the first one,
yes,
cuz
so
I can remember
Diviners,
the title.
Was this 1920s New York kind of thriller but with like a supernatural thread in it.
Yes. I think I remember that now.
Yes. And this is like the second one, and it's all about these people who kind of have this divine or have a divine skill, basically, that's not human, and then there's obviously like a thriller kind of thread through that. And the second one is kind of continuing on. We've had the first kind of enemy gone, and now we've got the second kind of foreboding, shadowing, you know, evil person coming out. But they haven't really quite figured out who that is yet.
Right.
Neither of, like, the reader doesn't know.
So that's one of those ones that keeps
it's
you on edge until the end.
It's one of those ones because the way that she writes it, it kind of, like, it's third person, so it just easily slips into so many different characters. Some aren't even, like, you know, protagonists or anything like that. They're just, you know, kind of part, like, I suppose you could say bystanders of what's happening within the thrilling kind of section. A little bit like, you know, if there's a crime, it'll go to that person, the victim.
Yep.
Anyways, but the great thing about this, and the reason I want to talk about it, is because the way that she has written this book, it's almost like a movie. It is so, as you can see, it's very dense.
I can see that.
None of the readers can see this.
No.
But it's a very thick, dense book, and the first one was the same. And it's taken her a long time with a lot of researchers to kind of cultivate this text, because it is like you're in New York. Like, that is how descriptive it is. It's not as if, it's not so descriptive that you're weighed down by it. It is just this really light, but it makes you feel like you were there. It's almost like a movie, but kind of in words type thing. And I think the interesting thing is that, you know, people don't have to be a supernatural fan. A lot of people aren't, and that's fine. But for me, this is almost like a motif for the American dream, which is something that I've always been interested in. Mm. It's something that I studied at university. I went to America on a literature tour, and we kind of looked at the American dream as a whole and, you know, the different facets of that. And to me, that this is what that represents, because, you know, it's all about, like, the thrill, the kind of the evil thing comes to them in their dreams, and it's called a sleeping sickness, where they are kind of falsely kind of taken into this beautiful dream that they're having, everything that they desire, and then it kind of turns harrowing and it all slips away, and then they're stuck there forever and they die, basically. And to me, that's a really interesting kind of take, because a lot of the characters in this are immigrants, you know, living in the tenements back in the 1920s. You know, you're kind of seeing that whole way that obviously African American people are treated, the Chinese, you know, you've got Chinatown, you've got just a lot of immigrants there, and the way that they've all come to this country through, you know, Ellis Island in the hopes of finding something, finding this American dream that's elusive to them, changes for every individual, for every family, and then having that kind of slip through their fingers, basically. And it's such an interesting kind of topic, and it breaks your heart in a way, because, like, you know, it kind of has this description there of these people on the boat coming through Ellis Island and seeing the Statue of Liberty and just thinking, like, having that hope that, you know, kind of takes over you, and, you know, hope that this is where you can kind of put down your roots and you know, be the success that you want, whatever that is for you, and then kind of always having that just out of your grasp.
Yeah.
You know, other texts are like Great Gatsby and things like that, and I just really am drawn to this idea.
I can see that.
Yeah, I just think it's such a fascinating thing. Like, I don't know. What do you think about it?
Well, it does sound very interesting indeed. And this sequel, was it written, it was planned that there was always going to be a sequel, or was it really trading off the success of the first one?
Yes, no, definitely always planned. Because the first one kind of ended on a cliffy type thing, and there were a lot of loose threads.
Mm.
But I just love the language. You know, you've got the 1920 kind of language included.
Yes.
You've got the speakeasies. You've got, like, the real kind of capturing of, you know, from the miners, like, the, you know, the immigrant miners who kind of were working on the tunnels there for the subway and things like that, too.
And you're only partway through, are you?
I'm only halfway through.
Do you have a score in 10 seconds or less out of 10 at this point?
Nine.
All right.
Sorry, I keep waffling on about the American dream.
No, it's very interesting. But I tell you what, we might follow up on that next week and see
Sounds
if you've
good.
Delved any deeper.
Sounds
but
good.
Thank you very much for coming, and talk to you same time next week. There, Caitlin there with Arts Entertainment. Greg McHenry is warming up next door. The Disabled Surfers are also there. He's going to be having an enlightening conversation with them. So stay tuned to The Pulse after 11 o'clock. I'm back next Monday from 9.
Coming up now on your community radio station, 94.7 The Pulse, is a program that helps you connect or reconnect with your community. The long-running Roads to Recovery with Greg and Edwina McHenry.
This is the news on 94.7 The Pulse.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.